The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Less than 4 months into the Trump presidency, we are watching, in the words of Republican Senator John McCain, a Watergate-sized crisis play out in real time.
Some are comparing this to Watergate.
Well, it's understandable that people are comparing it to Watergate because, of course, what happened there is that President Nixon fired the special prosecutor because he was getting too close.
A lot of comparisons to President Nixon and his firing of the special prosecutor investigating him during the Watergate scandals.
The president's abrupt firing of Comey drew quick parallels to the Nixon administration's Saturday night massacre and firing of Watergate special prosecutor Archibald Cox.
I don't know.
So are we back into the wiretapping situation?
Back to the wiretapping situation, or is that a reference to Watergate, where the Nixon tapes were there?
Joe, I'm sorry to jump in on you, buddy, but people are comparing this to Watergate and Nixon.
Possible tapes in the Oval Office being compared to Nixon during Watergate.
Many pundits are comparing Mr. Trump's firing of James Comey to President Nixon's Saturday night massacre, his dismissal of Watergate special prosecutor Archibald Cox.
You know, I'm not the first one to draw parallels to Watergate.
This week, Watergate and former President Nixon have been on the tip of many media tongues.
First of all, there's something very Nixonian about all of this.
And I think he did it for a reason that was very similar to the Watergate cover-up in 1972 and 73.
I keep flashing back to the Watergate period. 45 years ago,
And I do think back to Watergate.
The echoes of Watergate grow ever more powerful.
This is a very serious situation, much more serious than the Watergate situation.
The firing of James Comey has drawn a lot of comparisons to what President Nixon did during the Watergate investigation.
That's a sampling of your major media in the United States of America. The echoes of Watergate getting louder and louder in the media echo chamber. We talked a little bit about the real Watergate scandal on yesterday's program. One wonders how many of those journalists really understand the truth about the Watergate scandal. There's more to the story, as my father covers in Great Again. As I say, I went through a good bit of this yesterday. The Origins of America's Dangerous Turn Left. That's the chapter in the Great Again booklet, chapter 3. And he says here, this is just a snippet from the booklet, President Nixon was a staunch opponent of communism and the left hated him for it. It's not that the Nixon administration didn't make any mistakes. And the same can be said certainly for the Trump administration today. But there's more to the story. That's the thing. My father in that booklet, he quotes from Dr. Herman Hay, a point that he made back in 1980. This is many years ago now. He said that President Nixon actually had come to recognize a conspiracy to work communists into the new left in America, and that he broke it up. And for that, Dr. Hay said, he was driven out of the presidency because a part of his plan involved preventing the far left from capturing the Democratic Party, and hence Watergate. He said that's all a part of the story that most people don't realize. And my father, of course, refers to Jeff Shepard's 2015 book, The Real Watergate Scandal. And since Watergate keeps coming up, maybe it will prompt a few more people in the major media to actually look into that history and to look at what's happened to the Democrat Party, to look at what's happened to the new left in the United States. What are we to make, though, of these scandals today? And you heard the media echo chamber. The narrative is clear. It's the same problem that Nixon and his administration had. And so we need to get him out of office. Where is this leading the United States? How will it impact America's standing in the world? We didn't really get into that yesterday. But what are other nations thinking with all that's happening in Washington, D.C.? Right now, I thought this was interesting, what Vladimir Putin had to say about all of this scandal. This is clip number four.
We are ready to provide recording of Trump-Lavrov talks to the U.S. Congress and Senate, of course, if the U.S. administration wants it.
Okay, I don't think the U.S. administration wants Putin's help at this stage. I think Mr. Trump would prefer that Vladimir Putin stay out of it. I mean, that's Vladimir Putin, the Prince of Rosh, basically trolling the United States. And then here in the U.K., you have the Daily Mail saying that British bookies are betting against Donald Trump even finishing his term. That's what they're betting here in the U.K., that Mr. Trump's not even going to make it to the end of 4 years. What a spectacle. That's what the United States has become, a spectacle on the world stage. And everyone can see it. Everyone can see it. There's a prophecy. I was going to get into this in the second segment. But the prophecy in Isaiah 1, where it talks about the sickness, you know, in Israel from head to toe. The whole head is sick, God says. The whole heart is faint. I mean, the leadership, the government. It says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. I mean, the sickness, just wide open sores, and everyone can see it. It's on display. And it's just back and forth, like an obsession. I mean, the level of derangement in the major media, they're hyperventilating. They're so excited that they can possibly run him out of office. Probably won't happen, but still, the coverage. Washington is abuzz with surround sound of scandal. That's the headline in the New York Times today. I mean, we're just buzzing with scandal. And it hasn't even been 4 months. We're only on day 118, the Times brings out. It says the word impeachment. It says, the special counsel was appointed. We'll get to that in a second. The word impeachment was uttered on the floor of the House of Representatives. And the President of the United States contemplated how to go forward with the next 1,343 days. He's only through 118. What about the next 1,300? Well, the British are betting against him making it even to the finish line. The Times says the notion that President Trump will actually be impeached seemed like liberal wishful thinking, but a new prosecutor represented a serious threat, and Washington was abuzz on Wednesday with the surround sound of scandal. Lawmakers demanded documents. The Dow Jones average fell by more than 370 points. Watergate talking heads flooded cable news shows. You just heard that. Echoes of Nixon, Nixonian, Watergate, scandal, Archibald Cox, special prosecutor, cover-up, obstruction of justice. I mean, the verdict's already in as far as the media is concerned. It says, for a president who, in most polls, has never commanded the support of a majority of his public, that's how the Times sets up this informative paragraph. You know, he really isn't popular. He's never had a majority of support. Let's establish that first. It says, the accumulated toll of self-inflicted wounds has been a challenge from the start. I like that. They're all self-inflicted. The media's had nothing to do with this. It's just all Donald Trump. He's brought it on himself. Now, as I say, that's not to say that he or any other administration is without mistakes. But who has brought this on? The administration. He has a lot of enemies. And right at the top of the list, for sure, is the mainstream media, The media that got it totally wrong, going back to the primary, the media that got it totally wrong leading up to the presidential election last November. And the media that's been hearing now for almost 2 years, Donald Trump out on the campaign trail talking about them as being frauds, phonies, fake news. And they've got it in for him. And they're going after him. And there's an abuzz of scandal in the air. Washington is abuzz, the Times says. Self-inflicted wounds. Well, I don't know about that, particularly when you look at the two or three of the biggest ones from the last few weeks. It says now he faces perhaps the most daunting moment of his young administration after his decision to fire the FBI director. Okay, that's one. That's something that every Democrat in Washington absolutely wanted to happen until it was actually carried out by Donald Trump. And then they immediately did a flip-flop. Immediately. May 8th, they were all for it. May 9th, all against it. Okay, after his decision to fire the FBI director, his disclosure of sensitive information to the Russians, something President Obama's administration did as well, and a report that he tried to shut down an investigation into a former aide. And what did he say on that report that no one has seen? That memo, James Comey's memo? He said, "I hope you can let this go." There's the smoking gun. There's the obstruction of justice. He reportedly said, "I hope you can let this go." He said that to Comey, according to Comey. And he said it 2 months ago, according to Comey, according to the date on the memo. Fox News, Greg Jarrett, he had a piece about Comey's revenge. It's not like it should come as a surprise. As I got into last Friday, I mean, if you've got enemies in the major media, which President Trump certainly does, and then now in the FBI as well, particularly with the director that's just been fired, and now these memos are surfacing. Greg Jarrett says here, 3 months ago, the then FBI director met with President Trump. Following their private conversation, Comey did what he always does. He wrote a memorandum to himself memorializing the conversation. Good lawyers do that routinely. It says now, only after Comey was fired, the memo magically surfaces in an inflammatory New York Times report which alleges that Mr. Trump asked Comey to end the Michael Flynn investigation. Those who don't know the first thing about the law immediately began hurling words like obstruction of justice, high crimes and misdemeanors, and impeachment. You've heard the montages today and yesterday. The impeachment one yesterday, today all the Nixonian references. Watergate 2.0. It says here, here's what we know. Under the law, Comey is required to immediately inform the Department of Justice of any attempt to obstruct justice by any person, even the President of the United States. Failure to do so would result in criminal charges against Comey. Against Comey, he would also, upon sufficient proof, lose his license to practice law. Now, I forget when the date is on his memo that nobody's seen, but it was at least a couple of months ago. And the point that Greg Jarrett's making here is that if it truly was an obstruction of justice, then Comey had to report that to the higher-ups right away. Right away. It says here, so if Comey believed Trump attempted to obstruct justice, did he comply with the law by reporting it to the DOJ? If not, it calls into question whether the events occurred as the Times reported it. Obstruction requires what's called specific intent to interfere with a criminal case. This Greg Jarrett, by the way, he's a defense attorney. Well, now he's a commentator, of course, at Fox. But his background is in law. And he says here, if Comey concluded, however, that Trump's language was vague, ambiguous, or elliptical, then he has no duty under the law to report it because it does not rise to the level of specific intent, thus no crime. There's no evidence Comey ever alerted officials at the Justice Department, as he is duty-bound to do. Surely if he had, the incriminating information would have made its way to the public either by an indictment or, more likely, an investigation that could hardly be kept confidential in the intervening months. Here's what he says, though. Comey's memo is being treated as a smoking gun only because the media and Democrats, likely prompted by Comey himself, are now peddling it that way. See, that's the narrative they've created. Of course it's a smoking gun, because this is Watergate all over again. And we've got an incompetent buffoon in the White House. We've got to get rid of him. That's what the media is out there pushing. Comey will soon testify before Congress about this and other matters. His memo will likely be produced pursuant to a subpoena. The words and the context will matter. But by writing a memo, Comey has put himself in a box. Listen to the conclusion here in Greg Jarrett's piece. Comey has put himself in a box. If he now accuses the president of obstruction, he places himself in legal jeopardy for failing to promptly and properly report it. If he says it was merely an uncomfortable conversation, then he clears the president of wrongdoing and sullies his own image as a guy who attempted to smear the man who fired him. Either way, James Comey comes out a loser, no matter. The media will hail him a hero. After all, he gave them a good story that was better than the truth. See, Comey's a smart man. He knows that the release of this memo puts him in a box, technically speaking, but he also knows that he has the media on his side. He also knows that the media will hail him as a hero. It doesn't matter what the truth of the case is or the truth of the matter is. The truth has fallen to the ground. There's no truth in the land. And they know they've got allies all over the place. You just heard them in that montage. You heard them. I mean, it's the media that's conducting this trial. And the way they see it, I mean, the verdict is already in. The decision's already been made. The sentence has been handed down. As I say, when you think of all the groups that hate Donald Trump, and there's lots of groups that hate him, you look at popular culture, you look at all the comedians that are just having a heyday with this every single night, you look now at the FBI and the former director, the Democrats, obviously, in Congress, all over the nation, and even some Republicans, establishment Republicans, The conservative wing that think that Donald Trump's too liberal, on the other hand. But above all, you've got the major media. For 2 years, here Donald Trump has been calling them fake news. He's been attacking them for 2 years. And they've been so wrong on so many things regarding this most recent political election. Now they have their opportunity to get him back. This is from Polizet, Media Reach peak meltdown over the Comey memo and Russian disclosure. It says, following a week dominated by press outrage over the firing of FBI Director James Comey, the defiant follow-up remarks made by Trump, the Washington Post alleged Monday the president improperly disclosed classified information to Russian officials during a meeting on May 10th. Trump reportedly spoke about intelligence obtained by Israelis, according to the New York Times, regarding an alleged ISIS plot to use laptop computers as hidden bombs. The intelligence was classified, although a U.S. president can declassify material and speak with foreign leaders about such information, especially when it involves potentially imminent terrorist threats. But that doesn't matter, again. The media just, I mean, they've taken it, and they've made the decision. Listen to this exchange. This happened on CNN. This is they've basically said, you know, this is it for Trump. This is it. I mean, he's convicted. And there was one Navy SEAL there on this round table that when he finally got the chance to speak up, he spoke up and he called into question some of these stories that are relying upon anonymous sources. And this has to do with the sharing classified information with the Russian diplomats, the Washington Post story from Monday. But here's how that exchange went down on CNN. This is clip two.
You're basing all these allegations off of one or maybe two sources, which CNN reports. Two former officials knowledgeable of the situation confirmed to CNN that the main points of the story. Two former officials. Tell you what, come out, name those people, then we'll have something to talk about.
One, we protect sources. Two, it's not just CNN. It's Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, CNN, ABC,
yeah, but
NBC.
Who are the sources?
Carl.
Who are the sources? Oh, because they're hiding behind this in anonymity.
Oh, please.
And that's what we're seeing.
Please, do not even start with me that you're just going to attack sources.
Okay, so
that is ridiculous.
So are you saying McMaster is lying?
I'm not saying McMaster is lying.
Well, he didn't really answer the question.
He didn't answer the question.
He said nothing inappropriate.
He said, no, that's his opinion.
That would be.
But that's his opinion.
You cannot say, you cannot attack. Do not attack the stellar reporters of CNN.
That's the CNN host there saying that you do not attack the stellar reporters of CNN. They are untouchable. They have sources. They have to protect their sources. If they need to keep them anonymous, they keep them anonymous. But you do not attack reporters. That's what she said. You heard it. You heard it. The media knows. I mean, they know. The decision's final. All that we need to see play out now is another Watergate, another resignation, another impeachment. President Trump was out on the trail yesterday, not the campaign trail, but speaking at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. I think this was for their graduation. This is clip one. Here's what he had to say.
Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly.
That's President Trump yesterday, and certainly he hasn't been treated kindly by the press, that's for sure. But look at what the press has been willing to do, to say, to repeat, all in an effort to bring this administration down. As Todd Starnes had to say, this is at another Fox News piece, some journalists are seething with so much rage and hatred, I would not put it past them to do whatever they deem necessary to destroy the Trump presidency, even if it means writing fake news stories and using anonymous sources. Talks about a couple of instances where it's done that just in the last month. Where they said, in one case, that the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, that he offered to resign in the wake of that firing of James Comey. Rosenstein then came out and denied the report. That never happened. It was reported, though. It was in the newspapers. It was reported on television by stellar reporters. Another example from this Todd Starnes piece, the Washington Post reported the FBI asked for additional resources for its probe of Trump's campaign's alleged collusion with the Russian government. Never happened. And yet that's what the stellar reporters are out there saying. Now you've got this this New York Times piece from the other day and this memorandum from Comey, from a couple of months ago, that supposedly shows obstruction of justice because the president reportedly said, I hope you can let this go. The Daily Wire made a point yesterday about all the allegations aimed at the Obama administration just from a few weeks ago, surveilling the Trump administration. I mean, that's just... That's just been blacked out. No controversy there. You see how one-sided it is. But coming back to these scandals, and again, the spectacle that the United States has become. CBS said yesterday Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller to serve as special counsel to oversee the previously confirmed FBI investigation of Russian efforts to influence the 2016 presidential election and related matters. And so here is Rosenstein caving into the pressure. And there's a lot of it, as you can hear, if you're listening or tuning into major media. And so he's appointed this special counsel now to hopefully put an end to this. But do you think if the special counsel comes out and confirms everything that the Trump administration and that the Department of Justice and that the FBI have been saying already, that the media will just calmly move on? It says further, the White House released a statement in response. It says the appointment comes as numerous Democratic lawmakers have called for a special counsel, colloquially known as a special prosecutor. Of course, they're really going to use that phrase instead of special counsel, because they want you to think that he's being prosecuted here, that there's all kinds of nefarious activity that's being uncovered in the Trump administration. Such calls increased in the recent days after Mr. Trump fired, well, goes through all the things you've been reading about in recent days. I sent out a trumpet brief on Monday about this media war against President Trump, that it's showing no sign of abating, as I said on Monday. You look at what's happened then in the following days. I was just talking about things that the major media were saying over the weekend. The Trump's abusing his power. He's above the law. Our institutions are under assault. The Trump administration, it poses a grave danger to America's democracy. And this is what I said in the trumpet brief. Where were these scaremongers when the Obama administration was actually trashing the Constitution, destroying the separation of powers, killing American citizens with drone strikes, using the IRS to persecute conservatives, forcing Microsoft, Apple, and Google to hand over private information on tens of millions of American citizens, unleashing the NSA on America's allies abroad, covering up Fast and Furious and Benghazi, and inventing a false narrative to close the nefarious nuclear pact with Iran. Not once was there a special counsel appointed for any of these. For any of these scandals, not Benghazi, not Fast and Furious, not the NSA, not the targeting of American citizens with drones, nothing. No special counsel, no Robert Mueller, nobody. No FBI director stepping aside or the head of the DOJ stepping aside, recusing himself. The Obama administration just carrying on. A little bit of flack in the conservative media, but then it dies down. And everyone moves on. But now, 118 days in, Nixon, Watergate, impeachment, resignation. It's, as I've been saying, it's going to be nonstop. It's going to be nonstop. Politico had a piece here. Conservatives begin to whisper. President Pence, it talks about some of the conservative commentators or so-called conservative. I think when you're a conservative writing for the New York Times, you're probably more of a moderate. But still, according to this piece, Eric Erickson at a popular conservative site, the writer at the New York Times that's supposed to be conservative, they're saying, hey, let's go ahead and let them push Donald Trump aside because we've got Mike Pence waiting in the wings. And he's more conservative than Mr. Trump anyway. The Democrats, On the other hand, they're, according to McClatchy, they're conducting polls. They're going through poll tests to see if impeachment is the way to go here. It's all about politics. It's all about strategy. It's all about 2018, 2020. And really, as I say, when you talk about the number one enemy that President Trump is facing, certainly the Democrats hate him and they want him to have a miserable presidency. But you have to think that there's some in the Democratic caucus that wonder if impeachment and possible resignation is the way to go, because it is true that the vice president comes more from the conservative wing. In any event, I guess that's all just politics. But what a spectacle. When you look at Isaiah, the prophecies in Isaiah, I read to you those two verses in chapter 1. In chapter 59, this is a chapter we go through a lot on this program because it perfectly describes the United States of America today. Isaiah 59 and verse 4 says, "None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Look at the tone from that host on CNN. Don't even start with me that you're going to attack sources. Do not attack stellar reporters of CNN. You don't go there. We're telling the truth. We have the final say. And what does God say? Well, you're trusting really in vanity, speaking lies, conceiving of mischief, bringing forth iniquity. Verse 7 says, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." I mean, these are the bigger problems that we're facing. We're a spectacle. We're a spectacle in the eyes of the world. And then the sickness from head to toe, the sickness from within. Verse 8 says, "The way of peace they know not. No, there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace." Look at government. And government's supposed to be the solution to the problems. Government's supposed to bring us peace. Government's supposed to bring all of these benefits to the people. Is there hope in man? Well, the Bible says exactly the opposite. Or it says that you can't place your hope in man. It says in the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet, this is Herbert Armstrong's work, "When we take a hard, cold, realistic view of conditions and trends, they do point inevitably to a fast approaching world crisis of combined nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, crime and violence, and the extinction of human life on this planet." It would be nice for once just to hear a host of a news program get a little bit riled up about these kinds of things. The reality, the cold, hard, realistic facts of the world today. Where are these trends leading? How will this end, all of these scandals? Isaiah says, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." Mr. Armstrong gets it right in his book when he says, "Today, as in ancient times, too many of those who seek offices of power over the people of cities, states, districts, or nations, promise great benefits, pose as public benefactors, while their inner motives are ambitions for personal power and wealth." See, whether it's the one side or the other, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle. Are they really in it for what's best for America? Or is it more about ambition for personal power and wealth? Well, here in Isaiah 59, if you continue reading through to the end of the chapter, there's great hope in this message. But the hope is not in man, as we'll talk about in the next segment. We'll just stay focused on the prophet Isaiah's writings today. But God says in Isaiah 59 and verse 20, he says through his prophet Isaiah, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Eternal." This, as Mr. Armstrong says, is the only hope of justice, of peace, of truth, of right solutions to all this world's problems. The only hope, the only solution, is the coming in power and glory of Christ, Jesus Christ, to set up world government, God's government, righteous government, government that actually is for the people, for our own benefit. It says in the next chapter, just carrying on, no chapter break here, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Eternal is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord, it says, shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you." See, that's the light of this world. That's the light of tomorrow. It's starting today in the smallest of ways, in God's church, in God's educational programs. And soon it will spread over all the earth. The glory of Jesus Christ, the light, is coming. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. That's God's government, righteous government, government that will actually solve all of the problems of this world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily radio show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully on tomorrow's broadcast, we can go through more feedback. We've gotten quite a bit over the course of this week, particularly in response to the trumpet briefs that we've produced. And hopefully, as I say, we can get through some of that on tomorrow's show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
But when you talk about apology, I think the one that you should really be apologizing for, and the thing that you should be apologizing for, are the 33,000 emails that you deleted and that you acid washed and then the two boxes of emails and other things last week that were taken from an office and are now missing. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my Attorney General to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this, where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails. And then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Secretary
Clinton. Well, he, as it turns out, he did win. And but yet he backed off right away and gave her a pass, just like the major medias giving President Obama a pass after pass after pass for 8 years. But now President Trump, he's learning quickly that his opponents on the other side of the political aisle, they're not about to let an opportunity pass on by. They're pouncing on it. It's really kind of an amazing turnaround. That was just from a debate in October of last year. That was 8 or 9 months ago. And how quickly the tables have turned. Going back to Isaiah, if you want to read along with me, Isaiah 2, I read those couple of verses in chapter 1 about the sickness. I tell you, you see the fighting back and forth, or in the case of some, maybe a willingness to just give up and not fight back, but whatever angle you're viewing it from, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in men, that's for sure. But God says, look, don't place your hope in man. If you do, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. Here in Isaiah 2, verse 17, it says, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. I mean, God's trying to humble us, and we have to go through these many prophecies that are now just ahead of us because of the loftiness of man. Verse 11, it says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. It goes on and says in verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. Down in verse 20, in that day, man shall cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. And verse 21, it says to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty. When He arises to shake terribly the earth, that's what's coming. To shake terribly the earth. That's when men are going to be scurrying to find darkened caves in which to hide, for fear of God's wrath. It says, cease you. This is Isaiah 2, verse 22. Cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted for, or to be accounted of, it says. Cease you from man. That's the source. I mean, this is the truth. But here we read of the source of all of our problems today. It comes down to this: human beings looking to men. And God says, don't do that. Cease from man. Cursed be the man who trusts in a man. That's the way the prophet Jeremiah put it. In Psalm 146, it says, put not your trust in princes. Over and again in Scripture, it says this, and yet this is the lesson that man simply will not learn. Look at how much trust we put in other men. It's embarrassing, really, to think about how impressed human beings can be with other human beings. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't love our fellow man, but to put our faith in man as opposed to God, that brings curses into our lives. That brings curses upon our nations. Cursed be the man that trusts in a man. That's what Jeremiah 17 says. Cursed be the man that makes flesh his arm or his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. That's what trusting in man leads to. It leads us to depart from God. So God says, cease you from man. Quit following after man and follow me, God says. Look to me. Look to my leadership. Look to my government. Look to my laws. Look to my programs. Look to my system of education. That's really what we were getting at yesterday in the second segment about wisdom and knowledge. Going to God for that instruction that we need. We're just like Solomon in 1 Kings 3. We don't know how to go out or come in. We need guidance. We need God to show us the way. We need godly counsel. That's what our nations need. That's what they need in Washington, D.C. That's what they need down in London. Back up to Isaiah 1. This is Isaiah 1 in verse 16. The prophet says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do well, it says in the next verse. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Learn to do well, though, it says at the start of that verse. We've got to learn how to do it. And God will give us the know-how if we really want it, like I said yesterday. If we really go after it. If we really seek that instruction from God. Verse 18 continues, come now and let us reason together, says the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come and reason together with God. That's what true education is all about. I mentioned this week is our graduation week. We had our senior dinner last night, and tonight the graduation ball and graduation itself on Sunday. And this is what we teach our students at Armstrong College. True education is reasoning with God. Reasoning with God. That's what true education is all about. True education is about stopping to follow and trust in men. And to come to this point of reasoning together with God. Well, back to the start of Isaiah 1. God here, I read a couple of these verses in the previous segment, but he talks about Israel, the modern-day descendants of ancient Israel, our people today. The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. I mean, we've lost sight of God. We don't know the way back to our master, our owner. We've lost all knowledge of who and what God is. And we're just out on our own. We've spun out of orbit. And we're just drifting without any direction, without any purpose, without any plan. And God says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. We have gone backward. Look at some of the other verses. Exodus 23 talks about following a multitude to do evil. Well, and then in these next couple of verses, it talks about the sickness. As I covered earlier, from the sole of the foot all the way up to our heads, there's no soundness. There's just open and gaping wounds, putrefying sores. And what is it leading to? Verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. That's what it's leading to. You can continue reading there where it compares us to Sodom and Gomorrah. But let me just conclude this segment with a couple of quotes from Herbert Armstrong and one from my father. Just about the problem here really being education. The future welfare and even the existence of civilization is dependent on the educational system, Mr. Armstrong said. And my father said back in 2003, the education of this world is leading to catastrophe. We must have an education that brings peace and hope. You only find that at God's college. It's a small beginning, but it will spread. We can thank God for that. When we come back, we'll just hurriedly go through a few leftover emails from last Friday's program that continue to come in response to the trumpet brief. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
This past weekend, our program, the one that played on the air here in the UK, it was the most important book since the Bible. Most of you, I think, are familiar with that show. We've played it, I think, 8 times on the air over the course of 2 years and 5 months. And it brought in 171 requests for Mystery of the Ages. Seems like every time that we play that, it's about 175 to 200. There's no let up. We just keep sending out more and more Mystery of the Ages. 171 for the book, and the updated responses for the previous show, the week before, The Key of David and The Open Door, all total, that brought in 165 requests for The Key of David booklet. So here's this seventh repeat, and it brings in another strong response. A few emails. It says, thank you and your editorial staff. The Trumpet Brief, outstanding, condensed, and concise news, straight to the point, plain. It reminds me of Habakkuk 2:2, where it says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. Thank you and your staff for your tireless efforts for keeping us all in the loop. That's from Perth, Australia. This one here says, hello to all at the Trumpet Brief. I'd like to say a big thank you for the latest information on world news, how it lines up with God's word. I'm grateful for all this information. Keep up the good work that you guys are doing. I do receive the Trumpet Magazine monthly also. Another one here says, I've been receiving the Trumpet Brief for many weeks now. There's nothing like it to keep abreast with events impacting our world. It's great that you're using the available technology to reach audiences around the world with instant updates. Thank you all for the work and the effort that you put into this program. It says here, that was from Malaysia, by the way. Another one says, thanks for the Trumpet Brief. They help us focus on the important issues as we watch world events. A good idea, which will forward the work. Another one here says, many thanks for all the valuable and helpful comments on global events in the light of God's word. Please keep sending The Brief and all of your valuable magazines to me. Another one here, it says, I find the Trumpet Brief very useful for knowing what matters in world events today. There's just too much information around us. We need to know what is relevant, accurate, and what has the right perspective. Another one here says, looking forward to receiving the Trumpet Brief helps me to understand what's happening in the world today and keep very calm while all around me are fretting. I understand that what is happening is supposed to happen. I can't thank you enough for the knowledge that you've given me. Another one here says, a very big sincere thanks for the Trumpet Brief. Just a wonderful, informative, thought-provoking message. Have been a constant reader for 30 years and will look forward to reading more of your literature. Thank you again. It says, finally, another one says, I love everything that I read from the Trumpet. I'm currently reading The U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, which is outstanding. The Trumpet Brief is good stuff as well. That's some feedback coming from some of you responding to our daily Trumpet Brief. You can be looking for one today, by the way, coming from Joel Hilliker, the host of Trumpet Hour. That's all that we have time for today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.